This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looks like we're going to have a recount, right? Two-vote margin. Jail tax passes. And there has to be someone from the parish that lives within the parish, a voter, and or a candidate. Well, there's no candidate here under Louisiana revised statutes that provide for same. And the recount shall be held for reasonable costs. The parish board decides the cost. And the amount needs to be available by noon yesterday, which, in fact, that was done by Danilo Augusta Feliciano of Burgundy Street. And the amount was $2,155. So that amount of money was put up and at the clerk's office. And it seems as though that the recount is going to take place in civil district court on May 8th, which is tomorrow, in the first floor courtroom, waiting to see what that time will be. I believe it's the Secretary of State that decides the time of the recount. So I got a text here from my Hurricane Katrina and post-Hurricane Katrina days. Stay home, play Parcheesi. That was some of the best advice I ever gave folks on about not going around joyriding out in the streets and everything else. And then that created the scoundrels that I hang out with to start texting me all kinds of crazy, crazy things to do in and around the Parcheesi game. And it took on a life of its own. Talk about taking on a life of its own. It's interesting what's happening with some of the leading universities in this country. And I've been following the comments that have been made by Harvard President Alan Garber relative to this conflict with the Trump administration. And Garber really kind of came out of the box by saying that the Trump administration brought the fight to him, meaning Harvard. And that may be one interpretation. I rather believe the issues brought forth by the Trump administrations have been festering for decades. And the lack of attention to the challenges coupled with the unwillingness to address them has really contributed to the boiling point that we find ourselves in right now and leading to aggressive conduct to other students and the administration. And President Garber continues to make comments that it's curious what he's saying and how he's saying it, that is really against his best interests in many respects. So Garber actually returned to Harvard in 2011 as a provost. He was a student. He went there for undergrad. And he said the other day in an interview that he noticed the spirit of healthy disagreement from his undergraduate days at Harvard had disappeared. And he says that to him, that was a big loss. So in 2011, he's there as the provost. So one might ask, although they didn't, which I found very interesting. It's amazing how some of these interviews go down. Well, you recognize that. Well, what did you do about it? Well, the answer is nothing. Why? Because that is really sticky business. That is very hard to change this culture. You have to go tweak admission standards. You have to go tweak and ask questions and be probative of people's ideological beliefs, of gaining a better understanding if there's a willingness of them to think outside of themselves and have a culture, a landscape, and an environment at Harvard where it is open to free and unrestricted debate, that we can disagree and we can cordially debate issues there. Interestingly, Garber said that's not what he found when he got there in 2011, that students were reluctant to do so. So I'm curious how many classes they offered at that point in time to try and foster that mindset, to try and encourage students to engage in those types of debates, because they're so important to a free and open society. And that we are better as a society if we do this without the risk of all kinds of nasty human conduct and behavior. So he's there from 2011 up until the time of October 7th. And it's obvious from his own words that they did not learn much and they did not do much. Because he says that this anti-Semitic behavior, although he knew that it existed on the campus of Harvard, it wasn't until October 7th that he recognized how deep-seated it was. He must have been blind. Everybody else did. And during the pendency of time that he was there, in fact, Harvard themselves discriminated in admissions. The court says so. They reduced standards for some to include offering remedial math when the best and the brightest in the world were fighting tooth and nail to get into the oldest educational institution in America, one that is renowned around the world. So they spent a lot of time focusing on other things, obviously, to the detriment of this. Their leadership had repeatedly been removed, reluctantly, I might add, for not being true to academic standards. What does that mean? It's a nice way of saying they were cheating. They were engaging in plagiarism. And when caught with their hand in the cookie jar, the administration there tried to explain it away and make excuses for these people, all the while tens of thousands of students watching this unfold, where this administration refused to engage in accountability. And it wasn't until outside sources brought this to the forefront and started putting pressure on them. It wouldn't escape news cycles. It kept going and going and going and going. And what happened? In almost every case, the individuals themselves voluntarily resigned in order to save face. And they were rewarded by staying on the staff at allegedly the finest learning institution in the world. So we kept a cheater. We kept someone that plagiarized to continue to instruct students about how best to conduct themselves while at Harvard and in life. Perfect alignment. Those dots connect, right? And meanwhile, the whole notion of meritocracy went away. It was frowned upon. And we embraced this equitable outcome theory, which we were told is going to save the planet. It was going to be the kumbaya moment for us, that everyone would end up in the same place. But what we didn't talk about is, how were we going to achieve that? How is that going to be achieved? And in the end, what's happening in the friction point right now, although the Trump administration doesn't come with clean hands in the way that they articulate this, because they want to make it combative all the time when it need not really be combative. But when you drill down to a granular level of what the education department is even saying, is that to Harvard, I think it's simply this: your actions and the manner in which you conduct yourself right now do not comport with constitutional standards.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series, as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit, as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You have policies and practices and procedures within this organization that are constitutionally deficient. And you continue to mislead and not tell the truth about all of what it is that you're doing. So we, meaning the Trump administration, would propose the following. So they know that Harvard has repeatedly had their hand caught in the cookie jar as to not treating everyone equally that applies for admission there. President Garber says that these requests of what the Trump administration is looking for is problematic. The means of achievement of getting us back into alignment. And he admits a lot of what the Trump administration is saying is in fact true. But the remediation is where he's having a problem in achieving it. And in a recent interview, he highlights two provisions. And I'm going to read them for you. And he says that these are very problematic for Harvard. As it relates to admissions, all admissions data shall be shared with the federal government and subjected to a comprehensive audit by the federal government. Does that sound that onerous to you? You have a university that has a history of having constitutionally deficient admission standards, favoring some and not others. The Supreme Court came out in a case talking about Asian students there. How's the best way to remediate that and bring about a comfort level with the federal government is what? Data. What do you have to hide? If you're making the investment there, if you're changing your ways, You got to be able to prove that there are outcomes that are meaningful with the strategies that you've developed to come in alignment with constitutional principles. Seems pretty straightforward to me. I mean, as it relates to a starting point on negotiation as to how that information is actually handled, that could be an additional talking point. But the means of achievement here to see what the outcomes are is something that's a deal breaker for Harvard. What are you hiding? There's been a couple of different studies that have revealed less than 3% of the faculty are actually conservative in nature. The vast majority are either left or far left. There's a smaller proportion of instructors at that university that fall in the middle and would be considered left-leaning moderates, which means in many cases that they probably have a problem in their hiring practices as well. And this is not Newell Norman's opinion. Garba himself admits to it and says that it's a problem, that we don't have that diversity of ideology that we should have on this campus. Why? Doesn't want to talk about that. But just know for certain that we have it and it exists. So the Trump administration proposed the following. All hiring and related data shall be shared with the federal government and subjected to a comprehensive audit. So if we want to find out whether or not you're doing anything meaningful to actually perpetuate more ideological balance within your organization, how else would you do it? Would I just call Dr. Garber and say, hey, Doc, Donald Trump here, just check it in. Want to know how things going as it relates to increasing the amount of diversity of ideology amongst your faculty? Are they still teaching anti-Semitic principles? Are they still teaching hate for America? Are they still teaching the hate for Western civilization? What do you think, Doc? Give me a brief synopsis of where we are. And we should just rely on that. Meanwhile, we're sending $8 billion, $9 billion to this university of your hard-earned tax dollars? No. Every grant, everything that goes with that, and every ability to find out whether or not implemented strategies to try and address a problem requires a what? Financial audit, an operational audit, an audit of some type to determine whether or not you are hitting the goals that you set out to accomplish, or you're just giving us lip service. The way I interpret this, and this is my opinion, is that Harvard has been a masterclass lip service provider. And they want to continue that. They want to tell you what they think you want to hear. They don't want to share the data. In fact, in the case of the Asian students, they fought for years to try and get that data. You thought you were getting codes to nuclear bombs in getting that data. Why? Simply because they knew they were guilty of what everyone accused them of. And they didn't want to have to say it. And do we really believe that this is going to change? Do we think for a moment that the culture of this organization is going to change overnight? No. The only way it will is through transparency. And that's the purpose of these audits. And that's what they fear. Transparency. They want to do what they want, when they want, how they want, but they still want to have the privilege of your tax dollars. I don't believe for a moment that they're putting their arms around meritocracy. Not for a singular moment do I believe that right now. In fact, they're playing games as to how they're going to call the DEI office that was called the DEI office before. They're wordsmithing this to death as it relates to all of these Ivy League institutions because they have no intention of following the law. They have every intention of continuing to fulfill whatever ideological mission that they've embraced over the last decade, and they don't want to give it up. Plain and simple. How anyone can say that they've been on the campus in a leadership position, starting with the provost, and they've not recognized the anti-Semitic behavior and the other problems that they have about not taking business, taking care of business as it relates to their leadership, who are cheaters and have no academic ethical morals, and then continue to reward them by continuing to have them on their faculty and staff. They're not being honest. They're not being truthful. And they are the beneficiaries of your tax dollars. I don't know about you, but this, are we getting an ROI here? Is the juice worth the squeeze? I'm not certain that it is. I am certain that there are a lot of other universities that can engage in the same studies that are being done as at Harvard that can do just as good a job with a lot less headache. We'll be right back. Stay with us.